Hello, Kiora.
Hello, Erin.
I am so happy to talk to you. Now we are just waiting for one other guest. This is going to be so much fun. I've never had two incredible women on a podcast at the same time, and here we are.
Yay. Here comes Diane.
Hello. Hello.
This is so much fun. So here's how this is going to work. I am going to explain the fact that I have two amazing women here. We're going to talk a little bit about each of you, and we have so many things to cover. For example, the BC Thrivers. But I'd love to introduce Zoe first. Zoe Wright-Bell, after she completed breast cancer treatment and she felt recovered enough to embark on the next phase of her life, she longed for a community that would support her in integrating her experience as a survivor and help her build an authentic, inspiration-filled life. And I believe Diane came on board, enthusiastically embraced this, and is now part of this wonderful experience.
Exactly.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Diane is joining us from Tanzania. Thank you so much, Diane. I have to ask, what time is it there?
It is 9 p.m.
Very kind of you to do that. So we are having a New Zealander and two. Diane, are you American?
I am.
But you're in Tanzania. And Zoe, whereabouts in the States are you?
I am in Seattle, West Seattle specifically.
Fantastic. And you're talking to a New Zealander. I love this. So, Diane obviously is a leadership coach and director of Women's Leadership Initiative at Young Life Africa and Middle East. And I can't wait to hear more about that. But before I do, how did your experience, Zoe? And I want you both just popcorn, jump on in wherever you want, because this is a three-way conversation. But after you completed the cancer treatment, how did you evolve into becoming a life coach?
So, great question. My experience after 14 months of treatment was that I realized that I could no longer do things that didn't fit me. Before it was possible kind of to throw myself under the bus in some circumstances, so to speak. But I realized like I could no longer do that. And so I had to get really intentional about getting rid of the things that didn't feed me and saying yes to the things that did. And my husband is a coach and among other things, and he had gone through this program and I'd always wanted to do this and I got the opportunity and I did it. And it's my passion. And so that is what I did.
I'm getting quite a bit of background noise.
That's not me,
Diane,
Diane.
what's going on in your wonderful life, Diane? Oh, now, no, we're all good. Forgive me. I wanted to bring that up because I didn't want to miss a word. Now, after, as well as becoming a coach, you facilitate mindful improvisation workshops because you've been a teaching artist and a performer with the Playback Theatre Northwest. How does all this tie together?
So I have always been interested in the way that improvisation is a doorway into, for me, accessing intuition because it's being in the moment. And I've also been attracted through my yoga practice to mindfulness, which is also being in the moment. And so mindful improvisation workshops combine meditation techniques and move into improvisation. And I think combining the meditation techniques deepens where you can go in accessing your own story. And it takes you from that kind of surface level of I'm a dentist, which is great and fun, but it can get you a little bit deeper. And
One
so that's connected to life coaching because life coaching is about being in the moment and providing a space for what is the core of what's supposed to emerge for the other person so they can move forward in their lives.
And what I loved about improv when I used to play theater sports was that wonderful thing, yes, and. For example, this is what is going on, yes, and. And we were always taught that no matter what was thrown at us, we were to say yes, and to make more, to add more, to add even more to that experience. Do you find that also helps in when you're coaching?
Absolutely. There's always a discovery process of tell me more. Let's go a layer deeper. Yes. And what are, instead of what can I not do, what opportunities are available? Yes, that's happening. And what next?
Let's all replace the word but with and. And I believe all our life evolve. I have to circle back and ask a little bit about clothing, because you know that comes up at some point. When you were with the Playback Theatre Northwest and you were on stage, can you remember what were some of your favorite costumes?
Actually, with that particular group, it's a specific type of improvisation where you're playing back the audience's stories. And we generally wore black, and what we would use is colorful scarves that could represent all kinds of emotions and things and wear them and play with them. So that was sort of the canvas.
See what accessories can do?
Yes.
You can create any story with an accessory. You have a Master of Arts in Painting from Seattle Pacific University. I am going to ask, I'm sorry.
Oh, there's some background noise there.
It sounds as if what's going on is that possibly somebody's moving or their microphone is being jostled. So that might be what's going on. Or it could just be, who knows what's going on in our lives. I mean, I normally have a French bulldog snoring at my feet, so there's usually the background noise of that. So with a Master of Arts in Teaching from Seattle Pacific University, what originally drew you to teaching?
I love teaching, and I volunteered in schools. And I'll tell you, once I did my internship, I realized, oh my gosh, medals and honor to public school teachers in the United States. But I realized that I didn't love it. And someone who is a teacher said to me, if you don't love it, it will eat you alive. And even if you do love it, sometimes it will eat you alive. And especially, and I didn't love it. So I had to move and use the skills in a different way with adults.
Life is all about continually learning and then sharing our experiences with others. I believe that everything we ever learn is of value to somebody else.
Yes, absolutely.
Diane, am I pronouncing your name right? Diane Larmé?
You are Diane Larmé.
Oh, thank you so much. You've got to take a pinch of salt for the fact that I have a Kiwi accent. So I'm really Tanzania. Oh, wow. I wish this was video so that you could basically give us a bit of a 360 of what's outside your window. How did you end up in Tanzania?
Thanks, Erin. And I do have to say, before I explain Tanzania, one of my dearest friends is a Kiwi and she's back in New Zealand. We met when we both lived in Ethiopia. And I have been to New Zealand before, but it's my dream to go back and be able to be with her in her home.
I hope you do. You don't happen to know what part of New Zealand she's in?
I do not. If you mentioned a few places, I would probably know it. But she has moved actually a few times since she's been back there from Ethiopia.
We will have a good discussion about New Zealand, and I'm sure you can put me in touch with your Kiwi friends so we can make sure you have a wonderful experience when you go down under.
Oh, I'd love that.
So how does a wonderful woman who has graduated from the Saint, you're going to help me with this, Mine
It's
Red
Saint, yes, exactly. Saint Meinrad. Well done.
Seminary and School of Theology. How did that lead you to becoming a director of the Women's Leadership Initiative?
Well, it's very connected because I do have a heart to help people, and my background is actually in counseling. And one thing led to another, and I ended up getting my master's degree at a Benedictine monastery with all monks. And that led me.
What did you wear? What, seriously, what did you wear? They're all wearing monk
I
robes.
they were wearing their monk robes, and I got to wear whatever I wanted. They were very, very accommodating, very open, and I could just wear whatever it was that I wore that day. I didn't have to think about a thing.
Love it. I'm just trying to picture you on a monk's robe. So, excuse me. So, you went from there. Please continue, and you have a heart to help.
Yeah, so with my heart to help, I particularly have always been drawn towards women and young people. And so after graduating, I worked in the US for a few years and then moved to Ethiopia and am involved in an organization called Young Life that helps teenagers. But I particularly work with African women who have a heart to help young people in their own countries. And that's the Women's Leadership Initiative.
Africa and Middle East is a broad brief.
It is a broad brief. I am involved in 28 different countries right now.
Wow, thank you for making time for this podcast. Not to mention.
Oh no. No, it's a big title and a big geography, but I have plenty of time to do the things that I'm passionate about.
What also blows me out of the water is both of you you also went through breast cancer to the point where you had a bilateral mastectomy.
Yes, I
I know
did.
you know this. I'm just in awe. So as well as handling such a huge role, to go through that, would you be open to telling me a little bit about your experience? I realize I just threw that into the room.
Oh, no worries. Thank you, Erin. Yeah, I'd be happy to share. And actually, it's really important to me to share. And like Zoe said, and we have so much in common, but one of the things that we have in common in terms of our breast cancer journey is just the longing for a community to connect with. And I have found out about 2.5 years before I was diagnosed that I was BRCA positive. So I knew that I was at high risk. And then during a, it was actually a foot surgery I was having in South Africa, I found out that I had some bad biopsies come back from a mammogram that led to biopsies anyways. And because of my BRCA, diagnosis, and even though I was at zero at the time, my BRCA diagnosis, I was at 85% of full-blown cancer. And so it wasn't if it was now, and it was only going to get worse. And so that is when I decided to, with the help of my doctors, to have the full mastectomy.
Would you explain to us what BRCA is?
Yes, so BRCA is a DNA mutation. There's BRCA1 and BRCA2. And if you are BRCA positive, it's actually a genetic test that women, actually men and women, are able to get. It is hereditary. And I do have breast cancer on both sides of my family. Actually, both of my grandparents, my grandmothers died of breast cancer. And so if you test positive, it's in your DNA. And depending on your history and your genetics, there's a percentage of risk that you are for breast cancer. And I was at almost 89%. And so with my bad biopsies and my breast cancer diagnosis, I think probably women who would not have been BRCA positive may have not had the full mastectomy, but because of my BRCA diagnosis, I needed to have the bilateral, the full mastectomy.
You shared that you felt you were a mutant, like a mutant under surveillance. What do you mean by that? And what a horrific feel.
Yeah, so it is, there are mutations of the cells that lead to the cancer cells for the BRCA. And yeah, Aaron, when I first found out I was BRCA positive, it was a huge shock. And I'm a proactive person by nature. But I do have to say, I know other women who have tested BRCA positive, and they do, they go a different route. And for me, I was already thinking that I needed to be very aware and proactive in my health and my medical journey. And then just, within 2 years, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So I'm thankful that I was prepared, but it was definitely a shock when I was first diagnosed.
Through talking to other breast cancer survivors, I found they've shared with me that their sense of confidence in getting dressed was shattered because all of a sudden they're having to dress a completely different body. Was this something, how, was this something that happened for you?
Absolutely. And I still deal with that. Absolutely. And it just, I'll always remember the night before I had my breasts removed that I stood naked in front of the mirror. And I'm not one to do that normally, but I thanked my body. And I also told her how much I would miss her because I would never be seeing her that way again. And it's true. Here I am, a couple of years out, and I still am getting used to my new body. And that is how I see myself, but also even how I dress myself.
Have you, I, my friends of mine have said that they have had implants. Others have used prosthetics. I was wondering, have you, how have you altered the way you got dressed, if you feel comfortable sharing?
Yeah. Well, I did not want implants because I did not want to have any kind of side effects. And I also didn't want to have to redo my implants in my later years of life. And so I am one of the people that chose to use my own body tissue. And so that has led to a lot of scarring. So, in one sense, while I'm very thankful to not have silicone or implants in my body, I do have to contend with scarring. And I don't scar well. I'm one that scars hypertrophically. And so that is something that I'm always aware of with what I wear, even as basic as what kind of bra I can wear, what kind of shirts I can wear, because of the scarring.
Thank you. The reason I bring it up is I've had friends say they felt genderless. They felt they'd lost their sense of identity as a woman, while others had embraced the freedom. One of them jokingly said that no more back pain from thanks to no more having her double D's. So thank you for being so gracious and sharing that. I love scars. Scars and tattoos are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I love my scars. I love my tattoos because they are my story on my body. But it's certainly something that's a very personal mindset. May I ask, how did you and Zoe connect?
Oh, well, we met through our coaching program, and we were learning partners, and then developed a mastermind together with one other coach. And I was talking about wanting to start this group for breast cancer survivors, a group coaching. And Diane said, wow, that's been something has been on my mind as well. And so it just clicked, and here we are.
Zoe, I'm on your fantastic website, powerfulinsightscoaching.com. And can I say how much I celebrate the fact that you call your group BC Thrivers instead of Survivors? Survivors is a very powerful word, and I resonate with it. But to call yourself Thrivers is truly empowering.
It is. And I will say, though, I had some doubt about using that word, because one thing I want to be clear on is that we're not always thriving as survivors. We are human, and that this group is about meeting people where they are and going from there. And I believe that through community and support, and the space, and through the coach approach, that we can move toward thriving in different areas of our lives. So BC Thrivers.
Would you tell me about the 5-week group coaching program?
So this is a group for 6 to 8 women. And the thing about group coaching is that you co-create the agenda. We would get some idea of where women are at, what areas of their lives they would like to see movement in, what their values are, what, you know, are they the same? Have they changed as a result of this experience? And then exploring those, and through using the collective wisdom of the group and facilitation, we support each other toward those goals.
And what is the, why are groups so powerful as opposed to trying to do this alone?
Again, I think collective wisdom is so powerful, and community and support. Going through something like diagnosis and treatment can feel very isolating. And as far as support, a lot of women don't want to go to a hospital, to a breast cancer group, and just focus on the breast cancer. And they want that support, but something maybe that's forward looking at a point in their lives where they're ready to move forward. And so that group gives that connection and community to support
The 5-week coaching program, the first one the one that's closest to this time, we're recording this on September 26th, is October the 11th, and it runs through to November the 8th, 2021. I'm sure there will be more. There will be more opportunities, but October 11th. So how are people able to enroll and join you in this course?
Well, the first thing that they want to do is click to book a discovery call, and then we will have a conversation, because we want this to be a great fit for that person and for the group as a whole, and to just have a conversation about where women are at and if this would be a good fit. And then we would move on from there, and they can sign up.
It's so important to have the right combination of people in a group. The energy that comes from that experience is quite exceptional. Now, the group is Mondays, 8 a.m. to 9:15 Pacific time. That's USA Pacific time. What a fantastic way to start off your week.
Yes. Depending on where you are, yes, I guess.
That is so true. Coming from a tiny country with only one time zone.
Yes.
I forget that other people, yeah, Why I forget the PST is not always a, you know, not always that great for absolutely everybody. I'm going to segue slightly back to Diane. Would you tell me, I was looking at your Facebook and I found the most incredible Haven of Peace Academy. Would you mind if we segue and you tell me a little bit about that?
Oh, I'm happy to. That is the school. I have four children, and that is the school here in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, that my children went to and that I am a board of trustee for, and I've been very involved for about 13 years. And it is also my next door neighbor right now. I live right near the school, so I can easily walk to the school.
How fantastic. I love the name Haven of Peace. It made me relax and feel blissful just hearing about it.
Well, that's what Dar es Salaam means. So Dar in Swahili is like a harbor or a haven, and Salaam means peace.
And Zoe, I'm bouncing over to you to say I'm on your website again, and there is the most stunning photo of what looks like a gorgeous Italian village, but I believe that's not the case.
No, that was at an Ethiopian restaurant on a neighborhood in Columbia City in Seattle, and I just love the photo, so...
It's beautiful with all the multicolored baskets of flowers. In order to contact Zoe Wright Bell, and that's Zoe Wright, Wright Bell, at powerfulinsightscoaching.com. But if you jump on her website, which is powerfulinsightscoaching.com, there is a Let's Chat button, a Get in Touch button, so that you can have a confidential, a safe conversation about whether this group coaching program is the right match for you. It's so important not to know that we are not alone. And as Zoe and Diane, they want to help you illuminate your path and overcome obstacles that stand between you and the authentic life that you want. This was so interesting. It was quite disconcerting, to be honest. I normally focus intently on one woman at a time, but it was have you both in the room. And I was thinking... I generally share my own experience, strengths, and hopes. So forgive me for talking about third-hand experiences of my friends. That might have felt a little disingenuous, so I do apologize for that. Are there messages that you would both like to give to breast cancer survivors and thrivers out there? Zoe?
I think that there's hope. I've talked to a lot of women who... they get through diagnosis and treatment and even a year, 2 years out, and it's supposed to be done, but it's not, of course, ever done because you'll have tests for the rest of your life, et cetera. And things have changed and maybe you don't know what direction you want to go in whatever area of your life. I think to have hope that you can reconnect with that fun and inspired life that's going to pull you forward. So that's my message.
That's so good. First, I just want to thank you so much, and absolutely no apology needed whatsoever. This is such a gift to be a part of. So thank you so much for inviting us to be on. And please, Erin, you have nothing to apologize for at all. And I couldn't agree more with Zoe. She has such a way with words and she has such a heart to help women through their stories. I would say for me, my message is that I did not know what coaching was. I remember having a couple of friends and hearing about life coaching and a little bit rolling my eyes, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I would roll my eyes a little bit and be like, oh my gosh, life coaching. But then, and I have a counseling background. So for me, therapy is very important and life coaching seemed not so important until I was introduced to it. And now I understand that what coaching offers is attention to the here and now with the intention for the there and then. And it is an avenue of complete hope. And it is also extremely practical. And that is what I needed in my own journey that I did not find. I just was pretty gritty and gutted out a lot. And I really wish that I would have had somebody to help me focus on the here and now for the there and then, because the there and then seemed very, very far away and quite impossible during my recovery.
Oh, that is here, here.
That is so powerful. Everybody should have a life coach. Every woman should have a life coach. It wasn't, I mean, it was several years back that the word was had quite dubious connotations, but to have someone and see your life objectively, see patterns that you're missing, offer support, accountability, help you find clarity, help you find your own inner wisdom and your own priorities, your own sense of self is truly invaluable. We all need a guide, especially someone with a very large torch.
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you both so much. Zoe, you and I get to reconnect later on this afternoon, which I'm really thrilled about. Diana, Yay. It's been an honor, and you can connect with both of these incredible women on LinkedIn, or once again, go to find out about that 5-week course, WaffleInsightsCoaching.com. Sending you lots of aroha, which is Kiwi for love. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.